Hello, and welcome to the Modern Dog Trainer podcast, hosted by myself, Ines McNeil, founder of themoderndogtrainer.net, where you'll find articles, downloads, courses, and coaching on the best practices for modern pet businesses. Be sure to add this podcast to your favorite listening list on Spotify or iTunes, and join our free discussion group on Facebook called Business Support by the Modern Dog Trainer. All right, welcome to the Modern Dog Trainer podcast. My name is Ines McNeil, founder of the Modern Dog Trainer blog and podcast, and which has now turned into courses and coaching. Today, I'm really excited to share some really amazing recommendations and just experiences from my guest today. Her name is Laura Gendron, and she is the founder and certified professional dog trainer at Misbehavior Training, which I love the name, and also as a behavior consultant at the Animal Health Center. So I'll go ahead and let her introduce herself a little bit more thoroughly. So go ahead, Laura.
So yeah, my name is Laura Gendron, and a lot of people will say Gendron, but that's totally fine. I am Misbehavior, and it's just me. So I'm a solopreneur, as they call it. And I started my business in 2008. I've been training since about 2005. So I started training actually when I was still in college. I started training with a colleague of mine. We started teaching group classes together. And then it just sort of took off from there. But I knew I wanted to kind of work for myself and do my own stuff and not be told exactly what to do. Although I guess when you have clients, you are still working for the clients for the most part. So I spent a lot of years doing group classes and one-on-one training. And then I had kids. And so I stopped the group classes because it was just taking too much of a toll on my nights and my weekends and all that stuff. And I moved to one-on-one. Plus, I really like to dig in to specifics with people. So I really enjoyed doing that. And then I was at actually a dog training conference. I went to the Clicker Expo in Kentucky when COVID hit.
Oh my goodness.
And so I had gone with a friend of mine who's also a trainer, and we were there for about 3 days, and because we just wanted to go early, and we kind of knew something was happening, but we're like, should we go? Should we not go? But we were so excited to go. And it was our getaway, our escape, just, you know, get into the training side of things and shut off the mom brains and all that. And so then we got there, and on day one, they ended up having to cancel it. So they did do a panel on the Saturday. They had a nice panel of all the speakers who were staying a little extra time. So, but then it took a couple days before I could get a flight home. So then I got home and I switched almost immediately to virtual training. And the reason I did that was because it was already on my mind. Like, I already wanted to do it, but I just never had the push. So then I switched from my one-on-one and my group from a long time ago to virtual stuff. And I haven't stopped since.
Awesome.
And it's been great to actually have this nice switch over.
That's awesome.
So
two questions come up for me is one, I know a lot of trainers had wanted to go virtual for a long time. I had a lot of clients that, you know, wanted to incorporate virtual training in some way. And they didn't do that until this pandemic. So I guess my first question around that is why was that not a priority sooner than this? And what held you back, I guess, from doing it sooner?
Yeah, so I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and not in that like, not in that like, you know, everything needs to just look perfect on the outside kind of way, but definitely that internal perfectionism too, which also comes along with procrastination, right? So it was one of those things where I had started a whole new program of day training, and that was relatively new, I would say within the last year or two before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I started, you know, offering packages exclusively to people. I didn't do session by session anymore. And that was really successful. So I guess I kind of just got lost in the day training realm and like the packages and going to clients' houses and helping them by doing some of the training with them, which I think they're I think there definitely is an advantage to doing that. But now that I've switched over, I've really sort of dug into the massive advantages, and, you know, it should be obvious for people, but the massive advantages of, you know, getting the owners to feel confident enough to do the training themselves too. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing for us to go in and do it for them, but obviously the transfer session was very important. So, mm-hmm. So I kind of got lost in that side of things where I needed that extra push.
Awesome. Yeah. And, so how did you begin to position that, you know, a virtual training as something that would be beneficial instead of just, you know, waiting a couple of months to see if they could restart in-person training? I know a lot of trainers can kind of came up against clients that wanted to wait it out and see if they could just continue in-person training in a couple of months. So how did you get people transitioned quickly?
So I started with my day training clients because I was right smack in the middle of quite a few of them.
Yeah.
So I ended up just putting together, I knew nothing about Zoom. Like Zoom was completely brand new to me. And I jumped into it right away because I knew that that was the platform that I would probably be using. And I learned as much as I could in about a matter of a week. And then I threw together and this was hard for the perfectionism side of me to just like get something going, but I threw together just like a little Zoom session for my current clients, you know, how to Zoom train your dog, like how will this all work? I'm learning with you. We're going to learn this together. And it's going to be an experience, but who knows how long this is all going to go. And obviously, you know, we know now it went longer than we initially thought anyways. Yeah. And, but the new normal was definitely going to be different anyways. And so I was hoping to at least get them going with the Zoom training, kind of keep momentum under them. And then, you know, eventually get back to the in-person stuff. And I had a couple clients who struggled more than others to get on board. And I think it was just technology stuff that kind of got in their way, or they didn't have a dog who really needed help at that very moment, or they thought they had a dog that could, you know, wait, like manners stuff versus actual behavior problems that they were dealing with on a regular basis and needed help with.
Awesome. And what you've also done is gone beyond one-to-one training, right? So you are now moving into courses and memberships. And can you tell us a little bit more about what that looks like for you?
Yeah. So I do things maybe a little bit different than some people. I'm sure that some will be on the same page as me here, but because of my procrastination style, I tend to, you know, I will listen to what my clients are asking for. And that I feel like makes a big difference with training and, you know, being successful in business is trying to create a program for your ideal client, as opposed to creating a program and then trying to find your ideal client.
Yeah.
So I ended up, you know, I had a bunch of people obviously that were reaching out about puppies because they were all getting these puppies and either they were expecting the puppies to come or they weren't. And they decided after the pandemic to go ahead and, you know, bring a puppy into their home. And so puppies everywhere, right? And with puppies come puppy problems. And everybody as a client thinks that each puppy problem is, you know, their own problem, that they're alone in the world and that no, you know, they're doing everything wrong and no other puppy could possibly be as hard as their puppy is in that moment. Yeah. But of course, as trainers, we're hearing it from every direction. Like we're hearing it from this person, that person, that person. So of course, then it's like, okay, well, I can keep teaching the same things one-on-one, or I can just offer a webinar or, you know, some sort of a workshop course or something like that. So I didn't jump right into courses because it sounded way too overwhelming for me. So I had during my day training, I had been making tons and tons of videos. So I had gotten really good about feeling better on camera. So I ended up putting together a workshop, doing a Zoom workshop. I think my first one was on potty training, if I remember correctly, because I did two similar ones at the same time, potty training and the piranha puppy. So biting puppies.
What I did
was I put together the workshop. I presented it live. Oh, and I did one on separation anxiety, preventing it, you know, when you come to the other side of the pandemic, when we get there. And I had the workshops and then I, you know, they were all recorded. And what I ended up doing was just taking that video and cutting it and breaking it down into pieces, because then instead of just watching the whole replay for people. They could then watch it, you know, lesson by lesson. Mm. And then I would create PDFs and stuff around that. So I did it a little bit backwards. I did it live and then I just created a course out of it from there. So, and I had had some experience with using, I use Member Vault for my, membership stuff. Yeah. So I had some experience using that for my one-on-one clients. So then I took all my course stuff in there. Awesome. And then ended up, moving over to that style of things and eventually getting over to my membership.
Awesome. I love that. And I think that that's absolutely the right way to go about building an online course or anything like that, because ultimately you want to make sure you're answering the questions that exist and not just making assumptions on what you think they may be struggling with and then finding out that's not actually what's happening. So that's awesome. Really good approach there. Now you, I have a one-year-old daughter and I know you have a couple of kiddos. So, how have you been juggling, you know, schooling at home and running your business now more online as well? And how has that all kind of come together?
So I feel very fortunate in that my kids are 6 and 8. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I have to do the virtual schooling thing. So their school right now, they are doing all virtual. So it's actually Monday through Thursday. They have Fridays off as like a catch-up day. Excuse me. And, so they, my kids are very, I think they might have a little bit of meat in them. They're very systematic about like, they like to, if they have like a checklist to go through, they're pretty good about doing that. And so of course in March and, you know, April and May, it was a little messy with school stuff, but this fall has been much easier. The teachers have really clearly been doing a lot of preparations over the course of the summer and all that. Yeah. So, so it's a, we definitely have to get into a routine around here so my kids know what to expect. Mm-hmm. But I think just like, you know, you've got all these dog trainers listening here, like it's all, it's, I hate to say I'm training my kids, but it's systems. Yeah. It's, we can call it systems. It's, it is. It's systems. It's, management. I mean, management, as we know, is huge for, what we try to tell our, teach our clients about and what we do with our own dogs. And so management with kids is the same thing. Right. So, like right now, you know, as I'm recording the podcast, they are downstairs, they're getting a little video game time. I mean, I'm completely like this. Yeah. This is, I've set up my day around this to keep them busy. So it's like giving dogs their busy toys, right? Like here, you go do something extra fun so I can have some time uninterrupted. And then, you know, so I try to kind of do my housework and my, my lower concentration stuff when they're doing schoolwork. So that way, if they get, if they have questions or they need to interrupt for something, it's not like pulling me out of my really focused work. Zone. And then I try to save my focused work for after they're done with school. So that has helped a lot. That has changed just within the past month or so. And it's made a huge difference for me. And I'm getting some of my housework done, which is crazy, right?
So, what do you, how do you schedule in your virtual lessons, or are you doing virtual lessons, or is it just, you know, online courses at this point with the kids?
So, when I didn't really have a plan, like the first month or so, as we were just getting back into the school stuff, I was sort of fitting stuff in wherever I could, but then I realized that, they have a, they suddenly have Zoom office hours they have to go into, but I have a Zoom. How are we going to share like the Wi-Fi?
You know?
So I definitely struggled with that in the beginning. And I dug into, I did tons of research on like how to improve my Wi-Fi connection with where I am in my house. Cause I actually created an entire room above my garage just to have like a quiet space, to do my work and to do my video calls and all that. So, but with that, I don't have the best connection. So I took all the internet over here with me, and the kids are lucky if they can connect. They have a routine now. So I've been able to get into a routine, but for the most part, I'm trying to keep my, my virtual sessions and all that in the afternoons. So just in case something comes up. So I will do virtual one-on-one sessions. I will try to do it, either before dinner. so that I can do the dinner thing and not feel overwhelmed by the whole like, oh, I forgot to put this whatever in the oven. And then sometimes I'll do it afterwards, but I'm really not a night person. I'm like done at night. I'd rather get up early and do stuff. So I really try to limit my hours, and I do work part-time at a vet's office on the weekends, but other than that, I try to keep my weekends relatively open. Because of just other family stuff.
Yeah.
So, and you know, that housework stuff that's supposed to get done, I guess.
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm really lucky in that my husband and I kind of just trade off caring for our little girl, during the day, and, we're able to have that flexibility. So, the pandemic actually was not a huge change for us, because we were practically always doing that, already doing that. And we basically just couldn't go out anymore, basically. But the schedule stayed pretty similar. Awesome. So I think I've just known you around online for a long time, and I've seen you here and there. And obviously the name of your business is super cute and clever. So it really stands out. And I've just been really impressed with your just general online presence and your collaboration across the board that I've seen for years. So can you tell us a little bit more about that, and about why you collaborate so much with other people, potentially people that others might call your competition, and how that works out?
Yeah, so I have always been community over competition, like always. So since I started, because there's so many people that need our help, and there's only one of us of each of us. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's really important to be able to collaborate, not just for the clients, but also for our own sanity, to be able to, you know, really be like, you know, cause we get that compassion fatigue, right? Like you want to help all the people because you know, they all need help. And for me personally, and I'm sure a lot of dog trainers are like this too, I definitely find value in being helpful, like being able to help other people. Like that's where I get some of my my value from. So I can't help everybody. So I think it's really important to have just a network of people that you can trust and that you know. So obviously there is a lot of competition around. But if you can turn some of that, what would be competition, and turn it into, you know, your colleagues and your friends and people that you can bounce ideas off of, and be like, okay, well, I can't help this person, but maybe you can. And one thing, like I have a group, there's three of us locally, who are super close, physically in location, but also, closest friends. And we've gotten really close because we're all dog trainers and we have that common, thing to talk about and to dig into. And we each have like an overlap with each other, which is really cool because, you know, so I do a lot of, I do virtual training now. I do family dogs, like people that have kids, like younger kids. And some, I was doing a lot of reactive dogs, although I sometimes will send those clients to one of my colleagues now, because sometimes those people do need a little extra hands-on help. And then another colleague of mine, has a lot of experience with reactive dogs, but she doesn't have a lot of experience working with kids. And she likes sport dog stuff and like competitive dog type stuff. And then another friend of mine has experience with kids and loves sport dog stuff, but she doesn't like reactive dog stuff. So you can see there's like, and you know, she likes to do classes and in-person stuff. And then that other colleague of mine prefers virtual and in person, but not really so much with the classes. And then I prefer virtual and, you know, in courses and my new membership and all that sort of stuff. So it's just, there's such a cool overlap between each of us. So whenever one of us gets somebody, we can be like, you know what, this isn't going to be a good fit for me right now, but I have somebody who would be great for you, or who you would be perfect for, who can help you. So it's been really nice to just be able to have that. Plus it's our sanity right now, because if we get like a crazy case, we can actually talk to the other person about it. So especially now where we can't, you know, get together in person as much. And we did just hold a retreat together, socially distanced dog training retreat.
I love it.
And it was the three of us, plus one other trainer. And, you know, we all kind of were able to bounce all these things off of each other as we were teaching too, which was awesome. And we got to go to each other's classes, which was even cooler because, you know, dog trainers, like, we don't make the time to train our own dogs. We train everybody else's dogs.
Totally.
Yeah.
I love that so much. And that's something that I've always tried to foster in whatever town or city I lived in at the time. I always tried to connect with the other trainers in the area. Cause even if, you know, there's no two trainers that are alike, right? Like, there's always something different. And you just don't, you know, people connect with other personalities. And so you're not always the right fit for every single client that comes your way. So I think that's a wonderful way to look at it. And we always have something interesting to learn from each other, no matter, you know, what we do. So thank you so much for sharing that. Is there anything, any other tips you might have for maybe people that are starting out with their training businesses now and, you know, especially given the pandemic, how would you maybe recommend what kind of tips you would have for them?
So one thing that I've learned recently is to, you know, how we preach to our clients that they need a dog training coach, like they need somebody to help them. They need someone who can help like narrow things down for them and give them a clear path forward.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't doing that myself, like for myself, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was doing everything. Like I was just, okay, well, I need to learn this, like Zoom, for example. I need to learn all about Zoom. Okay, I'm going to just find all the bits and pieces all over the place. And I wasn't one to necessarily really invest in the business side of things. Honestly, I didn't even see myself as an entrepreneur until like 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. And I've been doing this for a long time. And I was like, oh, wait, I guess I would be an entrepreneur, wouldn't I? Like, I'm solving these problems and I'm, you know, like, so it was a crazy light bulb moment for me, I guess. But, you know, in thinking about that, if we are always telling our clients to, you know, find somebody who can teach you, find a professional, find an expert in your field, somebody who at least has that 10% edge. And I wasn't doing that. Well, I just started doing it for my membership because I was like, you know what? I got to get this membership up and running.
Yeah.
Like it's time. I've been talking about it for years and years. And I just wanted to scale to a point where if I were to do a podcast or if I were to go into the media or something like that, I had somewhere to send people because there's only so much one-on-one time you have. You hit a ceiling, right? Totally. So I ended up hiring a coach and it was a business coach, just kind of a general, somebody who does general online memberships. I specifically look for somebody who had experience with memberships and it was the best thing I've ever done. And I can only imagine if I did this, you know, 10, 15 years ago, how much further ahead I might be. So I think that's the biggest thing is like, try to find somebody who's, you know, ahead of you or like walking in front of you with this stuff and reach out to them and get their help because it really, otherwise you get so lost in this like spider web of information. And there's a reason why, you know, courses cost money. And there's a reason why coaches cost money. It's because they're going to get you from A to B to C to Z much faster than, you know, when you take all of, like when you go on a maze of a trip. So it's, I think that's like, if there was one thing I could change and do sooner in my business, it definitely would be hiring somebody to help me focus.
It really is like prioritizing like what is the most important thing to do right now. I love that. And I see that so often too, that like especially in dog training, like everybody loves you know, taking dog training courses and learning how to train dogs and all getting all nerdy and geeky over the science of it. And I love that too. But I think there's a difference. You know, obviously you will acquire skills that you can potentially use to create services in the future. But when you invest in, you know, business coaching or consulting or courses on like the business side of things, you really are able to see a much quicker return on your investment because it's much more focused on, okay, how do you use these skills to actually generate revenue and grow your business. So I think it's absolutely very important for anybody starting out with a business.
Sorry, I ran a challenge. I just want to mention too, I ran a challenge for the membership to get people into it.
Nice.
And this is the first, I've run challenges before. I mean, like I do them all the time because I love to, you know, make fun games out of things and use positive reinforcement, right? So I've run challenges before, but I have never in all of my years had so much engagement in this challenge as I did for this last one. And it was really just about my messaging and, you know, reaching my ICA and like really thinking about like who is my ideal client, like truly. Yeah. And I'm still working on that right now a little bit, because as I've gone from the in-person space to the online space, it has shifted a little bit for mm-hmm. sure. But I don't think my challenge would have been nearly that successful if I didn't just like focus on some of that business yes. side of stuff. And, you know, and almost, I usually will tell people too, like, look at them again. I hate to compare people to dogs, but I do it the other way around too, if that makes anybody feel better. You know, I use a lot of analogies about kids when I'm talking to clients about their dogs too. Right. So, but I, you know, you're trying to give them those small little wins, and you're trying to communicate in a way that they can hear you and motivate them in a way that they are motivated, and yeah. Trying to get to that emotional, get them out of like feeling really emotional about things so that they can think about what they're doing. And yeah. so it's all so similar to the whole training process and behavior. It's just behavior, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The human side of things is just as important as the dog side of things often, because without the human, there's usually very little progress with the dogs too. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That's wonderful. What are some common mistakes you see other trainers making potentially with either their online presence or just their marketing approach or anything like that?
So you remember how I talked about that procrastination thing?
Yeah.
So obviously it's still a work in progress for me. I mean, that retreat I went to, they were joking, the other trainers were joking, because I probably put that presentation together like the night before. So I am still a work in progress with the procrastination for sure. But I think just, again, having those little steps forward makes a massive difference. So one thing, I had gotten a media opportunity to go into the media to be on video and to submit some videos that I had been recording for my pandemic puppy program I had put together nice. Over the summer. And so, you know, I got the call from them. Well, I had actually reached out on social media. Somebody had posted something on social media asking if anybody had any good stories about pivoting in the pandemic. And so I shared my story about my pandemic puppy program.
Yeah.
And they reached back out to me. And let me tell you, a year ago, I probably wouldn't have called her. Oh, I would have been terrified, because just, I had no confidence when it came to that stuff. And with having to do all this virtual stuff and just little by little, like being on more live videos and doing more Zoom calls and realizing that like, okay, I can look at myself on video and nothing's going to happen to me. I'm still going to come out the other side. You know? Yeah. It's fine. And you know, I've seen so much of myself in the last year between editing videos and going on Zoom and doing the live videos and all that stuff mm-hmm. that I'm almost like numb to it now. Like I just don't yeah. care what I look like. I've gone on live videos before and fixed my hair. Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so I probably would have never called them back a year ago, but because I've been taking these little steps forward, mm-hmm. my confidence has grown a ton. And so I think that is one of the biggest places that people get stuck. And from what I see, I work with some dog professionals in different industries too, just like working on tech stuff. Like we have a tech club for dog pros. And that's the biggest thing that we're seeing, is that people are like, oh, well, you know, I'm fear of judgment, which is what perfectionism is, right? It's just fear yeah. of judgment. So fear of judgment, if they go on live, what if they say something that they didn't mean to say, or their dog does something that they weren't supposed to do, yeah. or, you know, all these little things, but it's so real and raw and people love that. So, exactly. I've sort of embraced that a bit more, and just sometimes if I have something, I think I had gone on live and then I realized I wasn't still streaming live and my kids were talking in the background, and I came back on the video and my daughter pointed out, she's like, Mom, why are we still live? I was like, I don't know. I don't know. So the first thing I did was just like, I came back on the video and I was just giggling. Like the three of us were just giggling at that point. And I was just like, sorry guys, I had no idea I was still live. But here we are about 12 minutes in now, when it yeah. should have been, you know, like two. And I think sometimes if you just put it out there, yeah. you know, before people even have a chance to make any judgments, and you won't feel like, you know, yeah. there's an opportunity for that. So, but I think that's where people get stuck, that like analysis paralysis stuff, mm-hmm. like that, you know, I have to do it all right, but I can't do anything until it's all right.
Yeah.
So had I still stuck with that mentality, I wouldn't be where I am mm-hmm. right now. Like I wouldn't have done as many things as I've done just in the past 6 months or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's huge, I think.
Awesome. Yeah. I think that's really helpful to share with others that, you know, yeah, mistakes do happen. It doesn't always go perfectly every time, but that's life. And people are very understanding about that, especially now, even more so. That they've all had to deal with similar experiences at this point. So that's really awesome. So my I guess second to last question is, if there was one thing you could change or improve about this industry, what would that be?
Collaboration. I know we talked about it, but it's so yeah. huge for me. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the biggest thing, because again, I think that we're all going to just, especially with this virtual training stuff, who knows how long this is going to go on as far as like how long we need to do more virtual.
Yeah.
Obviously when we get back to, or when we get to the new normal, I shouldn't say get back to, but
yeah.
whatever it's going to look like. I think that there's going to be so many positive changes to come out of all of this stuff. Like all these teachers who now have all these virtual options for kids, mm-hmm. And you know, trainers who have all these virtual options for these dogs that don't want us to come into the house, or people who, I have a client who travels from New Hampshire to Massachusetts. So not far, she doesn't go far, but far enough where sometimes she goes on Zoom from Massachusetts. Other times she goes into New Hampshire, and otherwise yeah. we might've had to cancel sessions because she had a big life change happen where she had to start being back in Massachusetts more often.
Yeah.
You know, things like that are just huge, but it's so easy to get burnt out by everybody who needs that help, that yeah. if we can collaborate, because maybe for one person, like that one friend of mine, she just could not get into the Zoom training. She just couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. She didn't like it. Nothing about it was enjoyable. So, you know, if we weren't collaborating, then we'd be competing with each other, right? Or we might yeah. be missing out on clients, or those clients would be like, well, I don't know who else to go to. Or they might go to the wrong right. person,
right. right?
Somebody who has methods that are questionable. Mm-hmm. So I think having those resources and that community around us is really important.
Yeah.
So that's a huge one.
Absolutely. No, I love that. And I'm all about that as well. And I think that just there's so many people and dogs out there that need our help, that there's plenty to go around.
Yes. So many.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to learn more about you or reach out to you with additional questions or anything like that, where can they go to find you?
So my main website, misbehaviortraining.com. That's a big one that has obviously everything that you could need on there, including all of my other links. So that's the main thing. But I am very, like you had said, I'm very present on social media. Mm-hmm. Social media is huge for me. Facebook, I tend to find is where most of my people are. So I spend more time there. Misbehavior training. So pretty easy to find me over there. Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram, I tried to change my Instagram handle and I haven't been able to yet, but for now it's Misbehavior NH because I live in New Hampshire. So, so you can definitely find me there. And I love to chat that way too, just kind of over social media and sharing pictures and all that stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for joining me today. I know that this was super helpful information for everybody out there that's listening, and I look forward to continuing to connect with you on social media as well.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Thank you again for listening to the Modern Dog Trainer podcast. If you're listening to this podcast in December of 2020, I have good news. The Modern Dog Trainer Academy is now enrolling. This is a 12-week program with live coaching. This program will guide you through the best practices for a modern-day dog business that suits your ideal lifestyle, income goals, and impact level. This is ideal for professional dog trainers that are making $1,000 or more from your dog training business currently, but want to make six figures. If you're interested in joining us, go to moderndogbusiness.com/academy. We'd love to have you.